Blog Talk Radio.
Check, check.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Football fans, the College Ball Show is back. I am your host, Chris Carlson. Unfortunately, Marshall could not be with us. He had some things going on. His high school team actually made the playoffs, which is pretty cool. Playoffs? So that's pretty cool. So he's busy tonight. He's in downtown Dallas doing his thing. So it will definitely be, you know, one of those just much quicker shows. Obviously, right? And I'm just making sure that we got all right. I think, yeah, okay. Anyway, sorry about that little hesitation here in the start. Anyway, we are back. Gonna talk a lot about week 11. Give my picks for that, preview the picks as well. Of course, we'll talk about the new rankings as well, the college football playoff rankings, kind of back to normal as far as what people would have thought. So we'll get into that. And we'll just kind of, you know, give my take on week 10 as well. You know, week 11, there's not as many big games. Well, I take that back. Ranked versus ranked inside the top 25 head-to-head games. There's not as many that. Okay, but that doesn't mean that there's not big games. I did say that wrong. There's plenty of big games that are under the radar. Okay, we have the LSU number 24 against number 25 Arkansas. Arkansas back in the rankings now. That's a pretty big game for them. Obviously, I'd say the one that really stands out is number 4, Washington, versus number 20, USC. It's a huge game. USC needs that to stay alive and keep the potential of the Pac-12 championship game, which more than likely would be a rematch of this game. So that's a big, big game. There's other, like, subtle games, like, that are, you know, interesting, like in the Big Ten West, Nebraska against Minnesota. Minnesota could win out, you know, it's not likely, but they could win all the games and get to the Big Ten championship title game. Nebraska still has a chance. Obviously, Wisconsin does, too. So there's kind of those type of, you know, games that are under the radar, and there's more than just that as well. Some really interesting games entertainment wise West Virginia, Texas. I'm gonna get into that. Like I said, also the college football playoff rankings, we'll get into that as well. See who dropped, see who didn't. And when it comes to that, and I'm just gonna start here with a quick recap from week 10, because we did have a very, very interesting week. Right? So we'll get into that. I'll start with that. Won't spend a ton of time on it, you know, and we'll get into some stuff that's been going on more recently, right? So let's get into that real quick. Like I said, it'll be a much shortened show because I won't have an argument or a debate or too much of a discussion on the other end. couple of games that stood out here, stood way out. We had some upsets. We had two pretty damn big upsets. But the big game, right, was Alabama against LSU. Alabama, I mean, we have so much spread it out, light up the scorecard, or scorecards, I'm talking boxing here, light up the scoreboards, spread the offense out, just chuck it around the field, right? That wasn't the case here. This is meat and potatoes and maybe some bland-ass coleslaw. That's what we got here. Just nasty defense, couldn't really move the ball in general. Alabama, number one, against then number 13 LSU. This was in Death Valley as well, which we know is a tough, tough place to play. And early on, LSU did not take advantage of their opportunities. They had a few of them, right? They were in the red zone. They got knocked out of it from penalties and loss of yardage. They were they had a pick near the red zone. Didn't take advantage of that. So there was plenty of momentum to be had by LSU, not just from the crazy crowd at Death Valley, but in general, you know, in general. And they didn't take advantage of it. And on the other side of it, you know, there was even a big pass play with Jalen Hurts and Stewart, 53 yards. Looked promising, but LSU's defense, they held strong, man. They turned away on a fourth and goal, turned away Alabama, best chance at points for quite some time. So at the half, it was 0-0. Pretty deep into the game, it was 0-0, which isn't totally shocking. I guess maybe I would have thought more like 6-3, or remember a couple years back they had that 9-6 overtime game. But Alabama, slowly but surely, they shut down Leonard Fournette now, back-to-back years. I think his freshman year he did get like 70 yards on him or something like that, but back-to-back years they shut down Fournette. There was two big plays that stood all the way out, and it was on the same drive, right? Well, I shouldn't say two big plays, two big moments, and it happened on the same drive. A 12-play, 90-yard drive from Alabama, and on that drive, Jalen Hurts, the Alabama quarterback who's coming along, he sealed the deal, even though it only made it, 7-0 at that time. He had a 21-yard scamper touchdown that was just, that's what turned the tide. Alabama was able to rush the ball, 216-33. Hurts accounted for 221 yards. And they got it done, man. They got it done. Bama is just looking freaking great. And if you can't run the ball on them, as we know, it's tough. Man, that speaker, I keep forgetting to turn off that speaker when I do videos sometimes. That's just the noise of that speaker. It gets me every time. Anyway, like I said, Bama, looking good. So the big controversy last week was A&M, Texas A&M being number four, even though they had only lost to Alabama, but they had that one loss, whereas Washington didn't. But if you look at Washington's schedule, their only big win was Utah on the road, which was a quality win. But let us not forget, Texas A&M had better wins, a couple more, just a harder schedule, more challenging schedule, and they were up, 14-13 in the third quarter on Alabama. So I didn't have a big problem with them being above it. But as we know, we see the first rankings, we see all these rankings the next couple of weeks. And as we know, the pressure mounts even more, as if there's not enough pressure in the regular season of college football. The fact that A&M, you know, what got that ranking, you know, it affected them. Now, to be fair, and real quick, 35-28, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, you know, bites the dust. A key here, though, the defense didn't play great for A&M, but Trevor Knight suffering injury, you know, to his throwing shoulder, in the first half and was unable to return. That basically did it. You know what I mean? They did make a run. They got it to like 28-14, A&M did. Or not A&M, excuse me. I'm all over the place. Mississippi State. But A&M, they did make a run. They rallied back, got it down to 7 points in the fourth quarter, and they needed a defensive stop. They did not get it. Nick Fitzgerald for the Bulldogs shined. Right after they scored, pulled within seven, 14-play drive, 70 yards to put his squad up by two scores. The Aggies, you know, they had a quick score, didn't convert on the onside's kick. But Fitzgerald, man, outstanding performance. He's really starting to make a name for himself there, which obviously, you know, big shoes to fill with Dak Prescott. He had 209 passing yards with two TDs and a 182 on the ground with two rushing TDs. Now, here's the upset of the week from last week. Marshall and I both got this right. He said, you know, he started breaking down the game, and he says, am I crazy? Am I crazy to call this one? Because, and the upset is Arkansas over number 11 Florida, who had only had one loss, but they hadn't really beat anybody. You know what I mean? And if you look at it, you look at Arkansas was like 1-3, but they had lost to A&M and Alabama. They had lost to some good-ass teams. So they got it done, though. And the Gators were just a no-show. No-show. And now they open up the floodgates to teams like Kentucky, of all things, in that SEC East, which is pretty much garbage, this year. So Arkansas got a much-needed Arkansas got a much-needed victory because, like I said, they've had this gauntlet of a schedule. Raleigh Williams, the third, he rushed for two touchdowns at a 148. It just was a non-game. It literally was a non-factor. So we did get that upset pick correct. You know, I'm not a big toot my own horn guy all the time, but, you know, I didn't feel like we were going that far out on the limb, to be honest with you, because, man, I mean, to me, Florida just hadn't done anything, and they didn't do anything in that game. I mean, they looked pretty weak. Defensively, don't get me wrong. They look pretty damn good there. But they didn't get it done. And Arkansas, like I said, is a tough team. They're a pretty good team. Their record is kind of deceiving. Wisconsin, it took them a little while. Like we mentioned, number 8 Wisconsin at the time, I'm using rankings from, you know, last week, 21-7. They got past Northwestern. They never trailed in the game. Talk about ball control. You know, once again, they relied on their defense, and they're getting back to their bread and butter. Corey Clements had 32 carries. They outrushed Northwestern 190-39. 106 of them came from Clement. And like I said, ball control, over 40 minutes of time of possession there. So when Wisconsin plays steady defense and they hold the ball for 40 minutes, guess what? It's going to be tough to beat them. And now the Badgers, I should mention, really solid player for Northwestern, wide receiver Austin Carr. He had 12 catches, 132. He's a pretty solid player. The Badgers, they have 3 games remaining in the regular season, Illinois, Purdue, and Minnesota. So they're looking like, because they beat Nebraska in that really tight, great game, they're looking like they're gonna do it. Now, my Gophers may have something to say about that, but they got their hands full this week. Number 18, I'd say this is probably, as far as having to do with ranked teams, this might be the best game of Week 10. Number 18, Oklahoma State rallied to beat Kansas State 43-37. Just an instant classic type thing, ebbs and flows. The Cowboys just kept fighting back. They got down early, 13-0. They were up 21-16 at half. Then they got down 30-21. They got down 37-28, two separate times there. But they just wouldn't be denied. They just kept going and kept going. The last two possessions of the game, Oklahoma State pulled up, I think it was, yeah, that was the final score, 43-37 on a nice drive. But also, Kansas State made a run, and they got all the way down to the doorstep. But the defense for Oklahoma State, who starting to come around, they had a pick, you know, in the end zone. Rudolph, another big day, 457, five TDs. You know, Kansas State rushed for 345, though. Heartbreaking loss there. Auburn manages to get by, hold off Vanderbilt 23-16. It was 13-10. They were down. But the second half, pretty much, you know, they caught back up, let's put it that way, right? So, to me, I kind of expected Auburn to have a flat game, especially against a nondescript opponent. Another big game here in a very good game. Virginia Tech gets by Duke 24-21. Kind of hot start by both 7-7. They were looking good, but the Hokies got their defense and offense going 21-7 at the midway point. The Blue Devils didn't go away. You know what I mean? They mounted a comeback, but key defensive plays down the stretch. Both quarterbacks had a big game, though, in a losing effort. Daniel Jacobs, or sorry, that, see, here I go with the boxing. Daniel Jones, I should just read that. 277 overall, had two touchdowns. And Jared Evans, a guy that's really coming together, he had 275 overall as well. In Florida State, they needed some dramatics late in the game to beat NC State. We know NC State's a pretty good club, 24-20. You know, redshirt freshman Deontay Francois, he's taking a lot of punishment, as we said, you know, prior last week. But he gets up, he shakes it off. They were down 13-10 at half, FSU was. They're even down 20-10 late in the third quarter. But Francois and company storm back. Delvin Cook had a nice touchdown run to end the third. And Francois had a 19-yard touchdown strike to Travis Rudolph to put the game on ice. Francois finished with 330 yards passing. So that was pretty interesting, too. And Texas Tech, man, that was a blast. That was a really, really fun game. And just to kind of quickly run through some scores real quick. I said quickly, and then I said real quick. That's but the workhorse in that Texas game, Deontay Foreman, 33 carries, 341, and three touchdowns, three threes and threes, third best mark behind Ricky Williams and who else is it? I forgot who the hell. He's a stud too. Man, you know, I talked about Mississippi State. They had a they had their fourth top 10 win in 3 years. That's pretty big, right? Also, front runner for the Heisman, Lamar Jackson. Why not? Another seven touchdowns for what he was responsible for. Had a big day. He now has 26 yards passing. Or 26 yards, gosh. 26 TD passes in 19. I mean, this guy's a stud. This guy is a stud. Clemson, though, breezed by Syracuse 54-0. Miami or Michigan, easy win, 59-3. My Gophers got it done as well, pulled away from Purdue. Just throwing that in there. Washington had a competitive game with Cal for the first half, then blew them out of the water, 66-27. Ohio State, though, number 6 against number 10. You know, they got off to a quick start, and by the time Tommy Armstrong, which hopefully he's okay, Tommy Armstrong Jr., he went down, man, really violently on the sidelines. He was able to come back and even ran out to his teammates and everything like that. But 62-3, JT Barrett, four touchdowns, 290 through the air. And Penn State, you know, a lot of that, we didn't know exactly how Penn State would come out because of the rankings. You know, they got ranked 12. A lot of people thought, oh, they're not. Yeah, they beat Ohio State, but who else did they beat? They smashed Iowa 41-14. TCU shocks Baylor. Baylor's done. 62-22. Unbelievable. That one was pretty shocking, if you ask me. Anyway, pretty much not a lot of change in the top six beyond, of course, A&M falling out. Some people thought this is the college football rankings. Not a lot of difference there. My top four is Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Washington. Three more behind those. I would definitely say Ohio State and Louisville. And then it's kind of up for debate. You could put, some people want to put Auburn there. Some people want to put Wisconsin there. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure how that's going to all play out there. But no, there was a debate and a discussion, that since Ohio State has the quality wins on the road at Wisconsin and at Oklahoma, where they pretty much handled them, and then took on Nebraska and just devoured them. A lot of people thought they're going to jump over, just like A&M. So that didn't happen, though. That didn't happen. In Washington, now they have, like I said, they're taking on a number 20 USC, and they also have Washington State. And they may, you know, if USC loses, like let's say Washington beats them, right, and Colorado wins out, then they'd have another ranked team to put on the ledger. So they'll probably hold tight. I know a lot of people are kind of in between. They don't know what to think about that. They're probably going to hold tight. You know, my guess is they're probably going to hold tight there. And they seem to be peaking. But like I said, the team that they're playing this week, speaking of peaking, they're peaking at the right time, USC. So we can't just give them this win, you know, up and coming here. So anyway, going to break down week 11, get the preview quick and the picks. Mention there's only two ranked teams going head-to-head or two matchups, four teams ranked, you know, head-to-head. LSU and Arkansas. This one's tough, man. This one's tough. I don't think Arkansas will be able to ball control, you know, like they did against Florida. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball like that. I think LSU, it's going to be a tight game. It'll be on the table in the fourth quarter. But I do like LSU to get that done. It's in Arkansas, and they could be hung over, though. They definitely could be hung over. So, and I'm speaking of LSU because, you know, they had that pretty damn solid performance considering, you know, they didn't score any points against Bama. So it is kind of a misleading thing, but when you only give up 10 points and you had your opportunities, it's a pretty good performance. Let's put it that way. It's pretty good. Number four, Washington, number 20, USC, a pair of resurgent programs facing off, hugely important in the Pac-12, obviously nationally as well for Washington. That's a big game. Obviously, they got to win out. They got to be undefeated, in my mind, to get into the top four, to get in those two semifinal games at the end of the year. So that's big, but, you know, the Trojans, man, their offense and overall, it's like polar opposites from the unit we saw in September. Beating Colorado was a nice step in the right direction. But USC, they need this win, like I mentioned, because, yeah, Colorado, you know, they have the tiebreaker there. But because they lost twice, once to Stanford and once to who did they lose to? And I'm talking, I know they, you know, they got beat up by Alabama, but they need this win to keep their hopes alive to get to the Pac-12 and earn a rematch. I'm going to go with Washington. I think it'll be a really tight game. I look for it to be in the 20s, in the 30s, somewhere in there. Maybe 31-27 or something like that. I think this will be a really good game. And, you know, I mean, Utah really gave them something to think about. They needed, what was it, 3 or 4 minutes left of that game. They had that punt return, but otherwise, who knows what would have happened, you know, beyond that. So I think it's wide open, man. I think it's really wide open. But it's going to be a good game. Another big game, like I mentioned, number 19, Nebraska against Minnesota. Minnesota could win out, like I mentioned. Of course, me, you know, being a Minnesota boy, I'm going to bring this up. But Tommy Armstrong Jr. is the key here. Now, he does, you know, turn the ball over plenty. He makes plays, but he also burns his team at times, especially offensively, obviously. How are they feeling going into that game without Armstrong and getting beat 62-3? Does it light a fire underneath them and they come back, you know, with the vengeance and have a great performance, their best performance of the year at home, knowing that they still have a shot to get to the title game? Or, you know, with our Armstrong, or maybe with them, do they come out and go, man, we've lost back-to-back. Will it be a third? The Gophers' defense is strange, man. The last 2 years, they've been really good, last 2-3 years. But and they're still pretty solid, but they give up the big plays. Usually it's been through the air, too. But they give up the big plays, but they make a lot of plays. And on the offense, they're improved offensively. They're going to have to get some plays in the pass game. No doubt about that. I think Nebraska will sneak it out unless Armstrong doesn't play. Then I actually do like Minnesota to get that one done. Some hardcore barn burners out there. Texas, who's coming off that big upset and then another good win against Texas Tech as far as just, you know, entertaining. It could be another classic in the Big 12. West Virginia. West Virginia, you know, up until they got handled by, who was it, Oklahoma State. I think it was Oklahoma State, right? They, I mean, their defense looked pretty solid to go along with a nice offense. But I don't know what's going to happen there. It's at Texas. Texas has won 3 out of their last 4. They're not going to be intimidated. Look for that to be a good game. Also, like I said, hardcore-wise, second half, take a look at Tulsa, who can score a lot, against Navy, who can score but also runs that triple option. So it's kind of a clash of styles there. That could be really interesting. I'm going with an upset. Oregon State is a 12-point road dog to UCLA. UCLA's, they're not a bad team, but, you know, ever since Rosen's out, Mark Rosen, their sophomore quarterback, who, you know, a lot of people are high on, when he graduates, or not graduates, but goes out, you know, as a pro, they're not a horrible team, but without him, they're not the same. So look for that to be at least a good game. I'm thinking anyway, I'd assume that that's what I'm going with. That should be a pretty damn good game. But I that's my upset of the week. 12-point dog on the road. Oregon State gets a big win, something they haven't gotten this week. Against the spread, and this is kind of working on my sports news 24.com article that I do weekly. I do that for college football as well. Also, all college football and college basketball is what I meant to say. I have to pick upset of the week. I have to pick in against the spread. And to me, Alabama's going to beat Mississippi State, right? However, coming off that big win from Mississippi State, I don't think they're going to be able to, you know, I don't think Fitzgerald's going to go nuts like he did last week. But I think he can make enough plays for them to lose by less than 30. They're favored by 30. So against the spread, I like Mississippi State to kind of sneak in there. I think that they'll get under that. I really do. I know Michigan plays, who do they play? Iowa on the road. We don't know which Iowa squad's going to show up. I think that's going to be key there. What else we got here in the top 20? Texas Tech, Oklahoma State shootout. That could be just a full-on shoot, or could be. That will be a shootout. Well, in number 13, Oklahoma State, in that matchup, they're at home. They're favored by 12.5. You may want to take a waiver on that one. But I don't know. Maybe Oklahoma State. Texas Tech isn't necessarily known for their running, right? So maybe, just maybe, the Oklahoma State defense will show up like it did against West Virginia. Could be. Virginia Tech, they just got to win out, and they will get to the ACC championship game. They're number 14 now. They're 7-2. They're peaking. They can pass the ball. They're a 14-point spread or point favorite at home. They should win, but Georgia Tech has a way of holding that ball. You may want to take a waiver on that one potentially. A&M and Ole Miss, you know, in September, you're looking, oh, yeah, this is going to be a good game. Both quarterbacks out, though, out for the season. Mayfield might come back, you know, for the bowl game. But so who really knows, backup-wise? Ole Miss has a better backup, supposedly. What else we got here? I'm going to actually in the crafty pick, actually, I got to do the crafty pick. That's something that we do on a weekly basis. Marshall, my co-host, who, like I said, couldn't make it tonight, but he just gets me a random game. He just gives me a random game, and I just pick it. And he texted me not long ago, and I made sure to do it honestly and not look at it. Let me see. It's always hard to find the game, too, because, you know, it's I think this is it. UTEP and FAU. Let me make sure. I'll look at his text message again. Do-do-do-do. That's it. Florida Atlantic and UTEP. All right, so I'm gonna take a gander at this puppy. The good old ESPN Football Index, Power Index, excuse me, has it 68% to 32. No, nice round numbers, not 68.3 or nothing. So they got the home squad up to win this one, and so it's a three-point spread. So it's basically an even game because, as we know, Vegas usually gives 3 points to the home team. So if they're favored by three, well, guess what? We got ourselves an even game. We got a 50-50 game. Whew, both these squads are just garbage on defense. UTEP giving up 35. Florida Atlantic giving up 36. Ouch. I did win last week, like I mentioned. Both can run they can run the ball decently. They give up a ton, though, of rushing yards. Let me look at the last five. I always like to look at what they're coming off of. Were they in tight games and that type of thing? I'm going to go, you know, I picked the road game or the road team a lot this year. Actually, I think almost every time. So I'm going to switch it up. And I have the game, the North Carolina Duke game, DVR'd, and I'm trying not to see it on the ESPN. All right, cool. I got by that. I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going with Florida Atlantic. It's a 50-50 game. I'm finally going to go with the home team. Just real quick, let me see if there's some other games that you want to keep an eye on before we get out of here. What else we got? You know, Wake Forest is sneaky. You never know. Louisville 8-1 at home. They're favored by 35. Now, they've been blowing a lot of teams out. And, you know, their coach said, well, maybe we should have blown Florida State out more. Well, you did, dude. I didn't understand that. They thought Clemson should be number one because that's who they lost to, I think. Wake, though, they could sneak under 35. They're 6-3. They're a decent club. You may want to keep an eye on that. Colorado No, that's not going to be a good game. West Virginia and Cal could be a shootout. Cal's 4-5 on the year. Washington State looks like they got their stuff together in the last month or so. You never know. That could be a good game. Cal has managed to beat some teams. They beat Texas earlier. Not that Texas is great, but you may want to keep an eye on that. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Hopefully, we'll be back early in the week Monday to recap, recap the game or the games, plural. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here, guys. Enjoy the week. And the crafty pick, man, it's up to like 7 or 8-1 now. So if you want to make some money, you may want to take a gander at that. Anyway, I'm out of here, you guys. Enjoy the week of football. Be back next week for the college football podcast. And of course, or college ball podcast, I should say. The college ball show covers college football. But then we go to the national championship. And then in January, we switch it to college basketball. Take that to the national championship. When that's done, we take, about a week off again, 10 days off. It's a weekly thing. And we go to the NBA playoffs all the way to the title game. We'll have two different shows, one for the draft and one for free agency. So we'll be here week to week on the College Ball Show podcast all the way to basically early July for the free agent show. Peace.